It's good to see everyone here this evening, and I hope that what I have to say this evening will be strictly in accordance to God's word and according to his will. I quit. What would you do if I had just come up here and said that to you this evening? If I'd come up here and just told you, I quit, I'm done, I welcomed you, that's all I've got tonight. You'd probably be a little bit upset, a bit surprised. But let's say you're having a hard day and someone cuts you off in the traffic. Do you quit following God for a moment? Do you quit giving him the service that he needs for a moment? Saying I quit is something we hear fairly often when there's something hard to be done, there's something that someone is feeling like they're getting nowhere. We hear it in movies, we hear it in stores, we hear it everywhere. This is a big problem in our nation, because quitting is very easy. To quit trying is often much easier than trying to continue. In order to know how to overcome the feeling that we want to quit, feeling that we want to quit following God, we need to know how and what causes us to want to quit. In order to fix anything, we need to know the cause. So I want to first look at some of the things that can cause us to feel like quitting. One of the things that I think is most prevalent and what causes people to want to quit is just plain hopelessness. When someone thinks there is no hope, they're more likely to do nothing. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 18 that someone without hope is also more likely to do evil. In Jeremiah 18 and verse 12, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will, every one, do the imagination of his evil heart." The man who doesn't have hope has nothing to live for. They will do whatever they want to, because they don't think there is anything better. Jeremiah says that this is the way the children of Israel had become in this passage. They had fallen to a point that they had no hope in God, so they quit trying to follow him. Maybe we just get tired of it. We want to quit. We get tired of what we have to do, and we decide we're done. Paul told the church at Galatia to never get tired of doing good. In Galatians 6 and verse 9, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." I think this could quite possibly be a reason that many people quit trying. They get tired, and they don't see any gain from it. All the work they are doing just takes time, so they can't do what they want. So they quit. Something that makes many question their faith, and in many cases quit trying, is that they believe a lie. They take something they heard that's contrary to God's law, and they believe it. If you look at Numbers chapter 13, you will find Moses sending spies out into the land of Canaan to search it out. And the spies go into Canaan, they search the land, and they find that the land is very good, but there are giants in the land. Now all Israel had just come on an amazing journey by God's hand. They'd been freed from their bondage of Egypt. They'd been allowed to walk across dry ground, across the Red Sea. They had come to Sinai, they'd seen God's wonders, and then they had come here to Canaan, where they were supposed to take the land and possess it. But the spies seemed to forget the power of God. 10 of the 12 spies came back and told the people that there was no way they were going to win a battle against Canaan. As we read through, I want you to note what these men said about the land and what they were supposed to do. Because of the report of these spies, all Israel just quit right there. Two people alone stood up and said that God would deliver it into their hand because he said he would. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 17. Numbers 13, starting in verse 17, it says, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring up the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Now in these first few verses, Moses is telling them what he wants them to do. He wants them to go in, see what the land is, what kind of people there are, whether they're strong or weak, whether there's a lot of them, whether they have fortified cities or whether they dwell in tents, and what kind of land it is, whether it's a good land. So let's continue in verse 27 of the same chapter. It says, "And they told him and said," this is when the spies come back and they're giving the report, "And we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying. Now here's where they go off on a tangent and they start giving the people the lie. "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Continuing in verse 1 of chapter 14, it says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, to rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." The spies who came back, those 10 spies, didn't just give the truth. They didn't just tell the people what they had seen. They added their own ideas to it. They put that seed of doubt in the minds of the people that they couldn't do it. And so the people quit. Right then, right there. It didn't matter that there were giants in the land. The people of Israel were supposed to follow God's lead no matter what happened. Look at what happened in the story. The people took the lie that was given by the 10 spies and used it as an excuse to quit. Now the 10 spies did not put their trust in God, and in so doing they turned away from him and told the people that there was no way they could take the land. God told them otherwise. Because of this lie, the people quit and ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years because of it. Now we've looked at a few examples of what may cause us to quit. But how do we keep going? This is actually pretty easy to find in the scriptures, because there are many things available to us that can help us to keep going. First and foremost, God's love and power. can help us to keep going and not to quit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 that things are possible with God that are not possible when only men are involved. Matthew 19, verse 26, it says, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Jesus is talking about the difficulty that a rich man would face when trying to get into the kingdom. And he then tells them this, and he says that although it may be as difficult as a camel going through the eye of a needle, with God it is possible. This is what the spies forgot. This is what the spies should have known by now. That God could help them and that God could get them through it. This is because when we trust in God and put our faith in Him, we will regain strength. We will become strong, able to take on things that we might not have thought were possible before. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." When we put our trust and our faith in God, our strength will be renewed. We will gain great strength, and we will be able to face many trials without being hindered by those trials, because we will be able to face them and overcome. I mentioned that growing weary can be part of what can cause us to want to quit. And this shows us that when we put our faith in God, growing weary should not be a problem for us. I also talked about possibility of hopelessness causing people to want to quit. And in Romans chapter 8, we can read that the Holy Spirit can also help us to keep from falling and keep from quitting. Paul tells the Romans that we are saved by hope, but that hope is something that cannot be seen, because if we could see it, why would we still hope for it? He says that like our hope, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities by bringing them before God with groanings that cannot be uttered. In Romans 8, verses 24 through 28, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." I think we often don't give the Holy Spirit much thought, but it says here that the Spirit is making intercession for us. It is there to make intercession for us and to make our prayers more meaningful to God. We have help from heaven to get through things. So why should we even consider quitting? Not only does the Spirit make intercession for us, but Christ also works on our behalf. Just a little bit further down in that same chapter, in Romans 8, verse 34, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Christ's death and sacrifice on the cross for our sins was very important for our salvation, and Christ intends to keep it that way. It says here that Christ makes intercession for us. He wants us to be safe. He doesn't want us to fail. But not only do we have help from God, the Holy Spirit, and Christ Jesus, we also have help from those whom Christ came to redeem, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Everyone in this room can help us to make our way through trials. Christ came to save mankind, and those who have been saved can help us when we are feeling down. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4 that if two people work together, then they will be stronger. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." As the body of Christ, we are all striving toward a common goal. Since we are working toward that common goal, we are more likely to succeed, because we will be together. Proverbs 27 says that as you use iron to sharpen another piece of iron, so one man can strengthen another. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Threefold cord is not quickly broken, but neither is a strong mind." And when we've got three strong minds together, we can definitely work a lot better to overcoming trials. When we help each other and sharpen our focus and effort toward following God's will, we will be better equipped to face whatever comes our way. We can also give a little help to ourselves by just talking to God. And in one way, this is help from God, but it takes our initiative to go to Him. In Luke 22, we can read about how Christ managed to make it through the last night before His crucifixion. In Luke 22, verses 41 through 42, it says, "And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Christ knew that He had to do what the Father had told Him to, but it would be hard, and He was struggling with it. So what did He do? He prayed and asked God to help Him do God's will. He didn't quit. He asked God to help Him through it. Studying can also give us a little help from God's Word. In Acts chapter 17, we can read about a group of people who studied and learned how they would best follow God. In Acts 17, verses 11 through 12, it says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." The Bereans studied to find what was the real truth. I realized as I read through it this time, as I was studying, that it wasn't because they believed that they studied. It wasn't because they were doing well. It wasn't because they were already Christians that they were studying God's word to learn His will. These people were Jews, and they studied what we know as the Old Testament to see whether what the apostles were telling them was true. They didn't just take the apostles' word for it. They studied to make sure it was truth. And by studying and learning God's word so that we know what His will is, we can become better equipped to continue to fight on, to keep going in this life. So we've looked at ways we can keep going. But why does this all matter so much? Why can't we just go with the flow? Let everything run smoothly past us, not even really caring what happens. Well, there are reasons that we need to keep fighting. One, there are terrible results when we quit trying. Remember the story we looked at earlier about the children of Israel quitting when they learned about the giants in the land of Canaan? Well, they didn't end up in a very good situation. They ended up having to stay wandering around in the desert for another 40 years. Also, they were so crazed by this new threat that they even considered going back to Egypt, where they had been in bondage for so long. Do you think these people were logically thinking it was better back in Egypt? We don't know for sure, but I think not. They just wanted to quit trying. And they put their minds back in slave mode. They said, if we can go back, we don't have to work at it this hard. We just have to do what we have to do and go on. They were scared. And they thought it would be better to go back and give the entire thing up. I don't want to focus on explaining the problems of Israel, though. I want to also look at an example through one of Christ's parables that shows us the terrible results of quitting. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And in this parable, a man leaves some of his possessions in the keeping of his servants when he goes on a long journey. Let's see what is done by these servants with what was left with them. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This man left some of his money, called talents, with his servants, for them to care for while he was gone. The ones who received 5 and 2 talents, both went out and made more money with the same. The third, who only received the 1 talent, went and hid it. He took the money that he was supposed to care for, and he hid it. What happened? Well, since he didn't do anything with it, and quit as soon as the task was given him, the Lord cast him into outer darkness, what we would call hell. This is the result of quitting. On the opposite side, there are great results when we persevere. Jesus told the people in Matthew chapter 24 that whosoever perseveres will gain a home in heaven. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 13, it says, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So if we endure all the way to the end, we will be saved. Paul told the Corinthians in chapter 9 of his first letter to them, there is a great prize to be gained by continuing on the course. In 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 29, it says, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul told the Corinthians that we have to run like we're going to win the race. We've got to keep going. We've got to win. We've got to persevere. We can't quit. There's too much on the line for that. Our service to God and our lives are at stake. If you quit, all you have to look forward to is an everlasting, eternal punishment. But if you continue, if you work hard, if you follow God's word, you will gain an everlasting home with Him. Which will you choose? Tonight, if you've been struggling to keep going, struggling to keep working to make it to that end goal, and you want the prayers of the church, or if you haven't started that walk and you're just stuck without even a hope of getting there. We ask if there's one of either class, if you need the help of the church, if you need the prayers of the church, or if you wish to be baptized, to start that walk with him. We ask you to come forward. Have a seat on one of these front pews while we stand and while we sing.